Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Happy Throwback Thursday, everybody.
Hi, folks. How you doing this week?
I'm doing good. Kevin just called me Edie Gourmet.
I did. Well, Rob, we were going to start recording, and Rob's like, I don't have my cord ready for my microphone, and he whipped his cord around, and I thought, okay, Edie. I was trying to think of a really funny anecdote, but I just said Edie, and where did you go? You thought right away.
See, I didn't turn on my old mishpucha brain, which should have been, we're going to see Edie Gourmet. I turned on my little gay brain that said Edie from Grey Gardens.
Oh, hi.
God, that show was so good. I never want to see anybody but Christine Ebersole play that role. That was perfection.
She was magnificent in that part. And boy, she's a legend. I mean, she is a Broadway. I just saw a picture on Bygone Broadway, the Instagram thing. It was a favorite thing where they post a lot of old Broadway photos. And there was her when she was like 20, 21, playing Guinevere, I think, in Camelot in like 1980. But my goodness, what that woman has had a career.
You know, she was on SNL for a season, right?
What?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, she was on SNL for a season, I think. So it's somewhat legendary, but like when the original cast left, I think in 1980, and Lorne Michaels left with them, they brought in a new producer named Gene Dumanian. And she brought in a whole new group of people, a whole new cast. And it was her, Joe Piscopo, Gilbert Gottfried, Eddie Murphy, and a lot of Denny Dillon, if you know Denny Dillon, and a lot of other folks. And they all got like canned within a year. Like within a year, they all were all asked to leave, and it didn't go so well. I don't know if she was asked to leave or if she quit. I don't know.
Will she get her on the podcast so we can ask her?
I would like to ask her, but she also shows up in some TV shows. I hear she's in Woody Allen's new movie, if anyone is still seeing his movies.
She has had a very long, multifaceted career.
Incredible. And my God, such a genius, an absolute genius. But if I don't, I want her and nobody else. Can I tell you my quick Grey Gardens story and then we'll move on? I'm so sorry. I remember the first time I saw Grey Gardens, I second acted it. Remember that when you could actually like second act shows?
Thoroughly Modern Millie. That's I love.
Really?
I know the second act so well.
Oh, you're so good. I second acted Grey Gardens and I had never seen the documentary. I had no idea it was based on a true story.
Oh.
And I was like, what is this? This is brilliant. This is brilliant. And so then I went back and bought a ticket and I was like, act one, I was like, holy shit. Like she plays her mom in a younger, like, what is this?
Right.
It was such a mind, watching her perform act two alone was mind blowing. But then to see act one, I was like, give this woman every Tony Award that ever existed.
And that show, you can really, it's like second acting Sunday in the Park, you know, act one and act two.
Absolutely.
Are so, yes, they're connected, but they're almost like two different one acts that are connected, you know? And
absolutely.
And that's so wild. Cause you must've been blown away when you saw act one finally. And thought,
oh my gosh.
That was
yes.
All in the future. That was all. Yeah.
Then my mind was like triply blown when I saw the original documentary. And I was like, holy shit, who is that? She captured her and Mary Louise Wilson. Mary Louise Wilson, who is a genius.
I would like to get her on the podcast as
well. We have made an offer and she declined.
Oh, okay. Good. Okay. That is like the second or third time in 5 years that has ever happened.
Mary Louise Wilson.
I hear she's, I don't want to use the word eccentric, but I hear that she is a very fun personality.
I love a fun personality. Miss Wilson, if you're willing to change your mind and reconsider, we'll only talk about things you want to talk about.
Hands. Hey, if anyone knows her, like drop our names a little bit. Let her know that she's going to be in good hands. We'll take care of her.
What's that insurance company? Is it you're in good hands? Allstate? You're in good hands? I think it's Allstate. Yes. We're like the Allstate of podcasting.
Miss Wilson? I like to think so. You know, people feel safe. They always get done and say, hey, that was really fun.
Now let's go over your. I had a good time. Hey, speaking of a good time, our interview with Anne Reinking was a good time, wasn't it?
Wow, that got a lot of attention.
Some might even say a good time, Charlie.
I feel like didn't take that bait, and I should have. And I'm a little ashamed of that. You really laid that one out there.
I tried for you.
Some good pictures that our social media person is.
We've
seen. I mean, that is like really, really fun shot.
Yeah, Bethany Aniston.
Bethany's amazing, and it's really, it's really fun to see those photos.
And it was fun to talk to Anne Reinking. Somebody asked me, and I don't know the answer. Is in the interview she kept alluding to the fact that like there was a big star slated to play Roxy Hart in Encores, and remember that? And she's like, that person dropped out, and so you know. I took over. And so a bunch of people texted me like, who was it? Who was it? And you know, folks, she never said.
She didn't tell us. And we didn't ask her off the record.
She never said. No. Yeah. And usually after somebody mentions that a few times, we feel like they'll mention it. And she did not mention it. Yeah. And so I feel like there was a reason she didn't mention it. I don't know who it was. I have some theories. I have some theories and ideas. Do you?
Especially in that time period because, you know, we didn't have the Encores was so new then. Go ahead. Sorry.
No. I was thinking one of two people. And I might be wrong on both because she was like, it's a really big star. I was thinking maybe Vanessa Williams. Remember? Because they kept always trying to get her to do an Encore show.
Right. And she had just done, Kiss of the Spider-Woman. And she was like really
she was hot.
Big. Yeah.
Right. And Anne Reinking had worked with her on the, I think on the Bye Bye Birdie TV show. Remember that with Jason Alexander?
Yes, of course.
And the other one, I was like, maybe it's Goldie Hawn. Because do you remember like in the 80s, they were going to make a movie of Chicago and it was going to be Goldie Hawn and Madonna?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I was like, maybe it's her.
That's super big because that's bigger than Vanessa. Vanessa was like a star, but but Goldie Hawn
was a mega star.
That's mega star. Yeah. Well, I'm saying Vanessa is like, she's a star. But I mean, Goldie Hawn, that would have been fun. Boy,
I don't know. So listeners, if you have an idea, let us know. And if you actually know, let us know because I'm curious.
Be anonymous. That's fine.
Or should I text Anne? Should I text her back and be like, "Hey, Anne, I have a follow-up question."
Hey, Anne,
question.
Up? You up? You up? I'm just
hey, Anne, you up? With a, God bless her. You know what I loved about her? There was not one. There was not a one text. Sorry.
It's like literally. What, Grandpa?
There was not one text that went
by. Check your battery. Sorry. Go ahead.
There was not one text that went by where there was not an emoji.
I love that so much.
I got hearts from her. I got those clapping hands. She was like, she's an emoji queen. So I was very cute. Excited to be texting with her. That's we never cute. Emailed. All we did was text.
I think that's wonderful.
So she's my buddy.
She was nothing but just kind, generous. She was so open too. I thought maybe, you know, I've seen interviews. I've read interviews. I thought maybe there'd be a little bit more of a wall up, but she was so gregarious and just
she was wonderful.
Yeah, and folks, check it out.
And you know what, and before we move on, you know, it's so funny when Kevin and I first started this podcast 5 years ago,
almost,
or thinking about it at least 5 years ago, when we both came up with a list of 25 people that we wanted to talk to, and I think I looked at my list again recently, she was number one on my list. She was number one. She was on your list too, but I was like oh shit, wow, we got her. We got Annie. Man, I'm so full of puns today.
You just make me No, I don't know if I'm feeling sentimental or what, but I love it. I'm just enjoying it. I think, yeah, we did. That is, I was so happy when we locked that interview down. I was just, yeah.
Me really too.
And I think we got stuff that we heard things that I have not heard in other interviews.
Absolutely.
Or read about, you know?
Absolutely.
So I thought that was really cool too.
Absolutely. And a big
thank you. Yeah.
No, I was going to say a big thanks to Michael Kubala, who was one of our former guests who got us in contact with her. So Michael, Big thanks. And Michael's interview was also fascinating. Michael was in Maryland. He was in Maryland.
I think so. And
had some interesting stories about that and working with Jerome Robbins too, because Michael's an amazing, amazing mm-hmm. dancer, really mm-hmm. talented guy. Okay. And hey, don't forget, folks, Saturday.
Hey, it's trivia night. Trivia night, trivia night. Every Saturday, we're going to have, well, we missed last Saturday because of the old July 4th, but we're back with you Saturday night, 8 o'clock. You know the routine. What do they have to do, Rob?
I was thinking about July 4th for a second. I was thinking about fireworks, and I was thinking about that song from Don't Worry Me. Fireworks.
And Hamilton. Oh, right, of course.
Oh, old fireworks. School, new school.
I know.
Hey, can we create a mashup of fireworks from both Hamilton and Don't Worry Me?
Yes, please.
Meanwhile, Mr. Miranda, are you okay with that?
Amazing. Robert W. Schneider. See, your name scans pretty well with it. I was thinking about that earlier.
Oh, today. It should be me on the star, but instead of pointing up, I'm just sitting there. And you see an ice cream cone in one hand.
Like the man in chair. But
like the man
cream.
In chair. Yeah. Yes. I'm
Robert W. Schneider.
Lynn, we're making some changes. Hey, before we talk about trivia, I'm so sorry. Did you watch the Hamilton?
Are you kidding me? I've watched it twice already.
My God, it looks so good. I got a Disney Plus subscription for this.
It's
worth
and
every
it's,
penny.
I loved it before. I'm on the bandwagon. I've been on the
Me
bandwagon.
Too.
I'm proud to be on the bandwagon because it is so well written and directed and acted and all of the words. But I'm this time watching it because I watched the bootleg a couple times. I've listened to it so many. But to really watch the storytelling and to have Thomas Kail, who directed on stage, also direct the film. Yeah. I mean, it's a stage. But you know how it's funny. And I mean funny, not ha-ha, but funny weird sometimes when you bring something that's a live theatrical experience to the film, and how do you make something that is so visceral, you know, 2D almost, you know, where we're just watching the screen. I thought they did such a good job of keeping the shots wide, keeping them not just close-ups, because that drives me crazy, because we're not meant to see them that close up on stage. I want to see the picture. I want to see the choreography all around. And I thought they really navigated that so shockingly well, and the applause and all of those things, letting the audience be a little part of it, but not too much. I'll be really curious to talk to you about it once you've seen it. Have you seen it yet?
Oh, yeah, I loved it.
Oh, okay.
I loved it.
I was just so blown away by some of the things that Thomas Kail did to help propel the story forward. Were so inventive to me and so creative, and using props and not using props, and the transitions going in and out so quickly. I've never seen anything quite like it before. So.
Yeah. And, you know, also I think a really huge shout out to Andy Blankenbuehler because that choreography,
the musical staging. Yes.
Staged within an inch of its life.
Not too distracting either. What's going on behind supports the focus of the story going on in the center. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I was watching a thing on YouTube a couple of days ago that they've posted where it's him, Andy Blankenbuehler, in a dance studio explaining like some of the moves in the show, like why it was so fascinating. It's so fascinating. Yeah. And he's just such a smart choreographer. It was a really cool look into the process. But Hamilton, which came out in the 2010s, and hey, Kevin, guess what?
Yes,
2010s is the theme of our trivia.
And the tens are the theme. We're going to go take you to some contemporary musical theater, friends.
We are. So once again, folks, it's on Saturday at 8 o'clock Eastern Time via Zoom. It's like Alexander Cohen. This year, the theme of the Tonys is going to be Ushers.
What is it, Hildy? What is it? Summertime. Okay, sorry.
Everyone, get ready. It's going to be the 2010s. And all of the proceeds are going to the National Immigration Law Center. One more time. The proceeds this week are going to the National Immigration Law Center. Please don't forget that every time we do one of these trivia things, all the money that you pay to participate with is all donated. Kevin and I do not keep a cent of
labor of love.
It's a labor of love because we want to be helping as many people as we possibly can. Last week we raised about $300 for GLSEN, and so we're hoping to raise the same amount of money for the National Immigration Law Center. And the theme, as we said, is the 2010s, Hamilton, Fun Home, Book of Mormon, so many. You know what's so funny, Kevin? When we were done putting the questions together, I was like, oh my God, there are so many musicals we have not included. We could do a part two. It was a very productive period, don't you think? So we have Hamilton, we have Book of Mormon, we have Fun Home. Are you Triumph the Insult Comic Dog? Yes. For me to poop on. Yes.
Frozen, Anastasia. Yeah, lots of fun stuff.
And as always, Kevin's going to sing.
I'm going to sing some tunes for you. Yeah, I'm going to throw a little song in there.
I was tempted and I was like, no, let Kevin sing because he's the better singer by yards.
You sing.
No, I was gonna have Robert Goulet pop up and sing a couple of songs from the 2010s, but I realized that would just not be a pretty thing.
Oh no, I want to do that. We gotta do that.
He doesn't. He's already gone back to heaven.
No, now you're like, I'm prickly. I'm thinking of the other category. We could do when we do the 60s. We could have you doing different impersonations of because you do. You're so good at your impressions.
Stop it! Stop it! Stop it! I'm an impressionist.
Yes, you are.
So anyway, so the way you can play is you can go and Venmo me Robert-Schneider-5 on Venmo. And if you want to do it by PayPal, it's robwschneider@gmail.com. And like I said, all the proceeds go to the National Immigration Law Center. And that's great. I know that one. I know that one. I see Kevin's baby going by. I'm very excited. I'm very excited. Bye, baby.
Okay.
Hey, Crawley. Okay, sorry. I'm good. Okay, so our favorite thing this week. Boy, oh boy. I wish we were not doing this as a favorite thing this week. But we wanted to celebrate the wonderful life of somebody that we lost. Oh my God. So way, 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 way too soon. And that's Nick Cordero, who passed away on the 5th, at aged 41 years old, of complications from COVID. And we have been following his story since, he first got ill. And we were all praying and hoping that, you know, he would have a miraculous turnaround. And he sort of has become, I think in the country, you know, the image of it can happen to anyone. I mean, here's a guy who's young, who's in great physical shape, right?
Healthy,
like, no pre-existing conditions that I'm aware of. This horrible, horrible thing has taken him away from us. But more importantly, it's taken him away from his wonderful wife, Amanda, and his beautiful, beautiful baby, Elvis. So we are sending that family such incredible love. Whenever I saw him on stage, he just brought so much joy and celebration to what he was doing. So we'd love to use this episode as a celebration of all of the work that Nick created in his short time on Earth. And we can only think of all the wonderful creations that he would have, you know, created.
Oh, yeah.
Had he been able to still be with us. So, Kevin, I'm curious, when is the first time that you remember seeing Nick on stage?
Yeah, great question. Nick is from Canada, and I actually never worked with him. I don't know him. I feel like I do because every single one of my friends has had an experience with him. And I just want to say before I talk about when I first saw him that it's wild because everything you just said about his performance on stage is exactly what everybody says about him off stage. How kind, how giving, how carefree and friendly and supportive and loving and wonderful he was off stage to everybody. So I just think that's worth mentioning as well. I actually saw him in his first, I think it was one of his first United States shows. It was his big break. It was Toxic Avenger. I saw that production.
Oh, really?
And he was phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. It's a weird, funky show, but some good tunes. That was my first time. But I must say that I don't think I saw... Oh, in Rock of Ages. I saw him in Rock of Ages. But those are the only two. I did not see any of his more recent work where he became the real leading man that he became. I did not see Bronx Tale. I did not see Waitress. I did not see Bullets Over Broadway, for which he won a Tony nomination, which is incredible. Yep. But you saw those.
I did see those.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SuffsMusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Okay, we will talk openly. Bullets Over Broadway was one of those shows that you're like, there's a lot of wonderful things in this show. And there was a lot of not so wonderful things in the show. And I think because of everything that's going on in the world, I don't know if we're ever going to see this show again for many reasons. I don't, you know, when is theater coming back? And two, if it comes back, do they really want to be doing a Woody Allen show?
So yeah, I think it might be a museum piece.
Yes. But you know what? I'm kind of okay with it because I don't think anyone could be as brilliant as Nick was in that show. He came on stage and he, first of all, he was incredibly funny. He was incredibly funny. Have you ever seen the movie Bullets Over Broadway?
It's on my list. I got to watch it.
In a condensed version, he plays a gangster who kills people that ends up sitting in on rehearsals for a play and starts giving notes to the writer on how to make the play better. And every note he gives is brilliant. But he does it in this like very like mobstery New York way. Like what he says, it doesn't come out sounding sophisticated, but it's like brilliant writing. Chaz Palminteri in the movie is genius. And when Nick did it, I was like, oh, he's nailing all the comedy in this character. Then he opened his mouth to sing and you go, oh my God, he can sing. Then he fucking danced and he didn't tap dance. And I mean, because this was a Stroh show, tap to say, you know, like right. Nobody's business. And he is brilliant. He is a brilliant tapper. And you sit there and you're like, I'm watching. Okay. This is a star now. This is a star. And it's interesting to know, do you know what he was doing before he got cast in Bullets Over Broadway?
I only know because it might be a trivia question.
Might be on trivia if you play
wink,
trivia.
Wink, wink, wink. Real estate, right? He was going for his real estate license.
He was getting out of the business.
Yeah.
He was getting out of the business. He was getting his real estate license. And thank God that he got cast in this because we might not have been able to see the rest of the genius that he was. And so, and for that, you know, he got nominated for a Tony Award for Best Featured Actor, Drama Desk Award for Outstanding Actor.
Theater World, yeah.
He won the Theater World. He won Outer Critics.
For a show that was not that successful. I mean, that's always a sign when the actor rises, I don't want to say rises above the show, but becomes, you know, recognized for his work, despite perhaps the show not being what it could be.
No, and it was one of those things where you were like, I'm going to see the show for him, you know, and Marin, oh my God. Yeah. I forgot. She was also actually Helene Yorke was in, and she was also,
I love her.
So is Brooks. Let me rephrase what I'm saying. Forgive me. I know a lot of people who saw the show and were disappointed by the show, regardless of all those wonderful people, but everyone unanimously across the board could not stop talking about how wonderful Nick was.
Totally. Yep.
Everyone started, you know. And then he goes over to, and you didn't see Bronx Tale, right?
I unfortunately did not see Bronx Tale.
Also, he's so wonderful in this show. And so he takes a character that some might not say is all that sympathetic and makes them incredibly sympathetic in Bronx Tale. Also, I think a role that Chaz Palminteri played.
Yes, I was just going to, because I was confused a minute ago because I thought you were talking about, you know, a Bronx Tale accidentally, even though you're talking about Chaz. And then I realized, no, I forgot he played that. You know, he sort of cornered the market on that kind of the wise guy, tough guy, but yet, how can you do that in musical theater? Because it's musical theater, song and dance. It's a very hard thing. Tony Asbeck does it very well, but it's not many guys that can pull off that that oozing that charm and that sort of like and the dated shows. It's a very traditional vision of what a man is, you know. And
yes,
he does that very well. That 50s, 60s sort of like, you know, bad boy type, but yet likable.
Yes, and like you said, it's almost like he was like frozen in time in like the 50s or 60s, and then they, you know, said, all right, come on.
Let's
find some shows for this guy. And then really surprising in Waitress. Really surprising in Waitress as, you know, the asshole. Her husband, the asshole.
Oh, yeah. I would have believed the relationship when I would have seen it then.
Well,
I did not believe that relationship when I saw it.
Well, you didn't have enough pie. That's why. I'm going to tell you, because they sold pie at intermission. I bought some pie.
Of course you did.
What? It's dinner theater? Yes.
I love those two things together.
My God. I'll tell you, I saw the movie of Waitress, and I've seen it a few times. But when he played Earl, like you said, you understood exactly what that relationship was. You understood who he was. You had some understanding of why the relationship worked the way that it did. And I've never seen that again. He brought a lot of humanity to that role. Right. And it didn't feel two dimensional. I'll be honest with you. I've seen it in a couple of other incarnations.
Right.
And the role feels like such a two dimensional.
Oh, that's exactly what it was when character. I saw it. I would have given anything to have seen him play it.
And I'm going to be honest. I don't know if that's because he was really wonderful and could mind things, or if that maybe it's not the most well-written role and he was able to add a layer to it that other actors have not.
Right.
Either way, it's a wonderful performance. And what makes me sad now is that, you know, we're not going to see anything else.
No. And that is the saddest part. It is so sad. And but we can, at least so much of it has been preserved on these cast recordings, and you can listen to him and you can hear the spirit with which he brings to the work that, you know, we have. But boy, I know the could have been is the hardest part.
The could have been is the hardest part, but you know what? One of many. Television, you know, he was also on Queer as Folk, which is a lovely show. He played the wonderful role of Tuna Rap,
That's exactly the role I would have figured he played in Queer as Folk. Yes,
you know,
of course.
And he did Blue Bloods, and of course he did Law and Order like everybody else. The lovely thing about living at least in this time period is that future generations will be able to say, look, you want to see him? Here's the bootleg of Waitress.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
Here's the bootleg of Bullets Over Broadway. People are going to see him, and he will absolutely live on. And, you know, God bless his wife who took to social media and kept everyone aware of what was going on with him. You know, the up days, the down days, and really put a very specific face on what this virus can do to people. Amanda has done heroic work really at this time when, you know, I can't even imagine what this is like to lose a spouse because of this and especially so young. And the fact that she wanted to keep everyone informed about his progress, his decline, it's just really, really something I think we really need to appreciate that she did for the world.
Most definitely. And especially when things are not going great, to have that, to feel that responsibility toll. It's not like he was, a lot of people knew him in our business and show business. You know, when you do many, many shows, those are all families, you know, especially if you're likable, especially if you're friendly with everybody. So it's all those people. You're right. That is, I had not thought about that, Rob. And that is such a responsibility that, you know, she took on with such grace and dignity, it hit me especially because I have a son almost the same age, you guys probably heard him. He just got up from his nap a minute ago, he said hi, but it just made me, my heart hurt that much harder because it's the added element of having a child as well. And I just think that she has been a pillar of strength and in this sorrow. All thoughts and hearts and prayers go to them. And as they move through this, this part of
their journey. Yeah, we're thinking of the wonderful Amanda. We're thinking of their adorable son, Elvis. What a name. And I'm sure Elvis will know how much that his father just loved him. And he'll get to see so much footage of, you know, what made his dad so magical and get to see how loved his dad was. So we're sending our love and thoughts to them. There's a petition going around to rename the Longacre Theater after Nick, which is where he did A Bronx Tale. And so there's a petition going around to see if they can rename the theater. So we'll see if that that happens when theater comes back. Please may theater come back. In the meantime, though, wear your masks, people. Please wear your masks. Wash your hands.
Social distance. Wash your hands. Wear a mask.
It's not about you. It's about other people. You know, it's about other people. So please, you know, protect. And that's so. I can't believe we're doing in memoriam for somebody who's 41 years old, but that's it. And so go watch some of his clips online, watch some old interviews, take a listen.
Listen to a cast recording. Listen to a Bronx Tale. Check it out. Celebrate Nick Cordero.
Yes, celebrate this wonderful, wonderful individual who left us way, way too soon. All right, so that's that for this one.
That's that. We'll see you on Saturday.
Awesome. All right. See you on Saturday for Trivia 2010s. And yes, there will be a question celebrating Nick. All right, everybody. Take care.
Bye, friends.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.